All right. Thank you, Sister Leah. Of course, that question kind of answers itself. There's nothing too hard for God, and what a good thing to remind ourselves of. Amen. I want you to go with me to the book of James this morning. We have a missionary couple visiting with us today. We appreciate the Bartels being with us. They're going to Russia, Jonathan and Courtney and Bradley, and they are from sent out from a church up in Elgin. Brother Gomez is the pastor. Is that right? Good to see you folks. Appreciate you dropping by. Good church up there, Northwest Bible Baptist Church. I've preached for Brother Gomez. He's preached here for us. And you pray for this couple and maybe get a chance to shake hands with them here after the service. Open your Bibles, please, to James chapter 4. We're going to shorten up a few verses, maybe use about 3 in chapter 4 of the book of James. I want you to listen on purpose this morning, or otherwise you're going to get what I say backwards. A lot of folks do that. I think it was Billy Sunday, the great evangelist of old days, preached, and somebody told him, said, you rub the fur the wrong way this morning. He said, well, then turn the cat around. And I know what he meant. You get right and it'll sound a whole lot better. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Now he's going all the way back to Genesis for this thought. Verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I think it was Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist the deacon and he'll fly on you. He must have been having deacon trouble, huh? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now I'm going to throw you a little curve here. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, how to keep the devil close. How to keep the devil close. Somebody said, keep your friends close and your enemies even closer. How to keep the devil close. I'm kind of inverting the text here a little bit. Look at it with me again in verse 7 here. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Listen, if resisting him will make him get farther from you, not resisting him will keep him close. Following that? All right. He'll stay close if you don't resist him. Now, I want to tell you, that kind of sums up the struggle of life. I mean, if you really boil it right down to it, there's two forces in this world want my allegiance and your allegiance. There's two. One wants me to go that way. One wants me to go this way. One is the force of God, and one is the force of the devil. Now, I don't have time to theologically tell you much about the devil. There's a lot about his existence and so forth, and how he fell through pride, and how he wanted to set his throne above the throne of God. All of that is in the Bible. But what sums up man's life on earth is he's pulled between God and the devil. I mean, you think that the struggle on earth, two forces. There's two words that you'll find in your life. You're either resisting something or you're submitting to something. That'll pretty well sum up every bit of it. Now, in verse 8 here, it says, in verse 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Now, let me pull a reverse on that. Then draw nigh to the devil and he'll draw nigh to you also. Anybody here say, well, it just seems like all my life I've been fighting the devil. You ought to ask yourself some questions. Who invited him in? Why is he staying with you? Why is he so near you? Why is he involved with you? Might be a good thing to look in the mirror and say, what have I done? What am I doing? That might be a good thing. You see, you either resist him or you don't resist him. And the devil, who is he? He's the opposite of God. He's the prince and power there. Ephesians chapter 2 says he's the one we used to walk with in the course of this old world. The prince and power of the air? I don't know how I can explain all that. You've heard me say in this pulpit lots of times when we're having trouble with the PA that the devil's in the air. He's in the electronics. He's in the electrical stuff. I really believe he is to a great degree. I believe it opens a door for him to do some things he can't do otherwise. But he's called the prince and power of the air, the one we used to walk with. And listen, that means he's close. He's close. The air is close. You breathe it, don't you? It's close. He's compared to being the prince and power there. Now, young people are often shocked when they make this discovery, and oh, how we need to help them on this. He is close. The devil is close. He's just waiting for you and begging you to open the door and let him in. That's what it amounts to. I've had young people come to me and say, well, we were playing with the Ouija board. That's a dangerous thing, young folks. You're doing what God told you not to do. You're trying to invite the other side to come in that he told you to leave alone. You say, oh, it's just a game. You better be careful. You better be careful. It is communicating with the so-called dead or the evil forces of the other side. And yes, that thing, you say, well, it moves because of your nerves and all. All of that may be true, but you're on dangerous ground. You better leave it alone. You want the devil to stay near you? Keep playing with the Ouija board. Keep going to the seances. Keep trying to mess with the fortune tellers and with your signs in the heaven and all. You're crossing a line God told you not to cross, and he's close enough to respond to you. And he will respond to you. He is the prince and power of the air. He uses the air. Now, modern technology today, I'm glad we can have the cell phones and use them for good, but look how much bad's being used. I'm glad we can have the internet and use it for good, but look how much bad's being used. Do you understand that when Noah was on the ship, the same air was available to him that's available today? And if he'd had a cell phone, he could have probably made a call somewhere. I don't know where. He's about the only one. But the air was still there. Now, it is amazing to me that we can take an electronic gadget and pull right out of this handful of air I'm holding here pictures, messages, music. We can. But if the devil can take that and use it for bad, and we all have to admit he's using much of it for bad today, much of it for evil today. And so when it says he's the prince in power there, I don't know all that that means, but I know it's a dangerous situation there if we're not careful. You know, a lot of evil. Orwell, you know who Orwell was? I don't recommend reading his book. It's kind of a dirty book in a way because he was not a saved man. But Orwell wrote a book back in 1948, and he flipped the year on it from 48 and turned it around, made it 84. And he predicted by 1984, Big Brother government would be on us. Cameras would be everywhere. Everything we said was being recorded. And Big Brother government would take all of our freedoms away. And we would be totally under the dictatorship, under a watchful Big Brother eye all the time. Folks, we are so close to the perfecting what he wrote about. And we're doing it with the air. We're doing it with what you can snatch out of the air if you've got the right gadget to do it. And it is an amazing thing. Now, I understand. You can take the piano and you can play a gospel song in a church. You can take the same piano and go to the honky-tonk and play something bad. Well, I understand that. Man's always been good about using maybe even what God gave us for good for bad. He said, you know, they tell me that we wouldn't be flying the big jets going from one state to the other across the nation, except those jets were not invented to fly you and I across the country fast. Originally, they were invented to kill people, and they did in the wars. Now, we take something there and make something good out of it. Sometimes that happens. But what we're seeing today is that people are being enticed by the gimmicks and the gadgets and not realizing that Satan is behind a whole pile of that stuff. You see, we all want to see something, but the Lord told us not walk by sight, but by walk by faith. But we want to see it, don't we? You ever hear somebody saying, well, seeing is believing? Oh, come on. You believe a lot of stuff you don't see. You believe you got a brain? Have you ever seen it? Maybe you don't have one. I'm just telling you, we believe in a lot of things we don't see, right? But the Lord said, walk by faith, not by sight. But the devil shows us a little bit because he knows we want to see something. And he entices. And men get hooked on pornography. People get hooked on all kinds of things because they want to see something. And in a sense, we're selling out to his side, the enemy of God, when he entraps us like that. World War II, the Nazis occupied France. And you've seen enough movies to know, but very, very real, thank God there was a group of patriotic Frenchmen that formed what is called an underground resistance. And oftentimes, even when some of our pilots were shot down and other things, it was the resistance crew in France that took them in and was able to get them out of the country and other things. They were resisting the Nazi occupation. But at the same time, there were those in the country of France that collaborated with the enemy and even made money off for the fact that the Nazis were occupying. Now, think about it. Boy, I'll tell you what. When the Nazis was defeated, a lot of those folks that collaborated fared pretty bad, if you want to check out the history. Some of those women, for instance, that collaborated with the enemy and became spies for the Nazis, you've seen it on TV, they took them in the streets and shaved their heads, totally shaved their heads, identifying them as who they were. I want to say to you, in Christianity today, oftentimes we see God's people collaborating with the enemy. We're supposed to resist. That's what the scripture said. Resist. Resist. But some collaborate. Why? Well, for one thing, the pleasures of flesh, even financially. Oftentimes, for the stigma or of society or the praise of man, all of that's involved. But there's a great degree when we keep the devil close to us, we're collaborating with the enemy. We're not resisting like we're supposed to, and we are on the wrong side of things. You know, evil spirits can materialize to show you something, get you to look at something. You ever read the paper here, and always do this quite often, you'll read the paper where some guy's being tried for murder. He's done something heinous. He's killed a lot of people. You know what he'll say? He'll say, I heard voices telling me to do it. You ever read some of that? Heard voices. You say, well, he's just making that up. Not necessarily. Satan has a voice that'll speak to your heart, to your head, to your soul, if you invite him in. And if you listen to him, that definitely happens. And instead of resisting, sometimes we seem to be collaborating with him. And America, to a great degree, is being destroyed from the inside because we're collaborating with the enemy. And I'm not talking about the enemy across the ocean. I'm talking about in our own population, in our own society, in our own lack of culture, if you please. I'd like for you to look at a verse just to show you I didn't invent what I just said. I want you to go with me over to chapter 59 of the book of Isaiah. Go back from James to your left to the Old Testament. I want you to go all the way back to Isaiah chapter 59. And it wouldn't hurt you to take your pen out and even mark this verse in the Bible, because what I'm fixing to show you is what you're reading in the newspaper here and on the news every day, seeing and experiencing. Somebody said the poles of the planet's going to shift one day. Maybe they are. In one sense, maybe they have. But I'll tell you one thing, they've shifted in morality, or lack of it. They've shifted in corruption. They have shifted in having the right values enthroned, because the wrong ones are being enthroned. Look at it in Isaiah 59, pick it up with me in verse 15. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil, watch it now, not the one that does evil, but the one that departs from evil, maketh himself a prey. Do you see that? You know what a prey is? Sure you do. Somebody that's become a victim of something else. And the one that stands against evil, he says, maketh himself a target, a prey. And the Lord saw it. Boy, there's a bunch of them think God can't see anymore. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And you could say fair judgment, proper judgment, judgment, righteous judgment. What is the Lord saying? He's saying a time when you speak truth, you're going to be accused of doing wrong. Are we seeing that in the news? Oh, boy, are we. We've come to a nation that is embracing the homosexual agenda that God calls an abomination. See, that's calling evil good. I mentioned abortion a while ago. We've come to a time now that killing the babies seems like the right thing, and if you stand against it, then you're wrong. That's the popular culture. That's the ones that's got the control of the airwaves of the news. You don't have to look far to see the devil behind all that. The twisted values. And you got a lot of folks intimidated in America now, afraid to speak up for what's right. I just hope when voting time comes, there's more people out there that's not being polled than we think. Because they're telling us the polls are, you know, going for evil, not good. I don't know. I think maybe they're wrong. I hope they're wrong. But I'm just saying to you, we've come to a place now where our nation is in the reverse. We're collaborating with the enemy. We're not resisting the enemy like we did for so long. And the restraint against evil is not what it used to be. Did you see them? Had all the school kids, gave them a day off from school to get out and get in the streets and march for climate change or against climate change. Let me say so. How many of you think that if our stupid Congress passed a big bill against climate change that God would look down and say, oh, I better change that? You don't think that, do you? It wouldn't be worth the paper written on. They got no more power over when the sun rises and sets or the storm comes or don't. They got no power with that. Who in the world they think they're kidding? They're not kidding me a bit. That's not in their realm of power. But they sure want a lot of folks to think that. And some seem to think it. You know what? There's a lot of folks keeping the devil close. Say, why? Because they're pleasing him. Because they're pleasing. You get your concordance and look up the word please in the Bible. See how many times it's mentioned. See how many times God speaks of you pleasing him. You remember Enoch in the book of Genesis, he was translated, remember? He was caught up. He walked with God. You know what? It says he had this testimony that he pleased God. I want that to be my testimony. I want to resist the devil. I want to please God. I don't want to collaborate with the enemy. And I want to tell you, you say, well, why is the devil staying so close to me? Why is he so near to me? Well, are you pleasing him? If you are, if God will draw nigh to you because you please him, wonder if the devil don't draw nigh because we please him. I want you to think with me a little bit this morning. Say, well, why is he always on my doorstep? Maybe you got a welcome sign. Why is he always knocking on my door? Because it opens for him every time. Amen and amen. We ought to be resisting, folks, resisting. See, Satan, if you want to please him, let me tell you how to please him. Let me tell you how to keep him close. Go to the places you're going to find him. Young people, listen to me. Can you name some places that you'd say belong to the devil? I think you could. I think you could give me a list. I think you could. If you go to his places, if you mock his actions and do his actions, aren't you expecting him to be kind of close to you? If you do your best to look the way he wants you to look, aren't you asking him to stay close? Yes, you are. I'll meddle with you just a little bit. Any normal, decent person, even if they're not a Christian, can see when you're wearing a big signboard for the devil. Yeah. I've seen these kids, even had a few in our school we had to deal with in times past. They've seen some horror shows or something else where everybody paints up witchy looking and dress and try to look like a devil or a witch. You say, well, they're just fooling around. Yeah, but they're saying to the devil, come on, stay with me, be close, I want to please you. Yes, Mickey, no amens, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Some of you young people, you ought to be careful. Whether you know it or not, you're saying, there's a welcome here for you, Satan. Come on in. I want to look like I think your crowd looks like. I want to sound like I think your crowd looks like. And I could give you some details if time allowed me this morning, and you know what I'm talking about. And I want to tell you what he'll do. He'll come into your head and heart, and he'll mix you up all kind of ways. I was reading where a well-known, I don't know if he's still alive or not, a well-known psychiatrist. They called him a dean of the school of psychiatry where he was teaching. And I was thinking about what he said. Now, I'm not for going to the psychiatrist. I'm for going to the Word of God. But, by the way, guess who has the highest suicide rate? The psychiatrist. But he was talking about the suicide rate among young people. And people asking him, why? Why is the suicide rate climbing? And he said, it's like this. He said, inside of a man's brain, he gets contrary decisions. He gets one part over here saying, go this way. He gets another part over here saying, go in this way. And because he cannot get rid of one and follow the other, he's stressed. And that's what stress is. It's indecision. It's halting between two opinions. It's pulling you both directions. That's what it is. So this psychiatrist said, here's what happens that causes suicide. He said it's like two men living in the same body or the same house, and they can't agree, so sooner or later one of them has to kill the other one. That's not chapter and verse, but that's what the psychiatrists say. And I thought, how close to the truth it is, and he don't know it. How there are two forces, how there is evil and good, and how it does stress. You know what? God made this body to where if we'll decide for what's right and we'll get 100% behind it, most likely we can accomplish it. But what kills us is pull this way and pull that way. And you can't make up your mind what is right and wrong and who you're going to follow and who you're going to please. I'm abbreviating some here because the text is very powerful if you think about it. How do you keep the devil close? You please him. You please him. How would you keep God close? It'd be to do the things that please him, right? Please him. Now, it's easy to look around and see Satan's work in the world today. I was hearing a teenager's testimony this week or last week. He was telling how, and thankfully he'd gotten the gospel and gotten saved. But he was telling about before he did, running with the boys, running with the gang, and going their way and not resisting, but just submitting to everything. He said, I started smoking marijuana. And he said, the preacher talking to him said, how'd you get off? He said, finally, I scared myself real bad. He said, how'd you do that? He said, I had an out-of-the-body experience. And don't kid yourself, that's possible. Man, I opened up a can of worms I can't deal with, but when I was studying, long time before I was in the ministry, and I was studying some dull, deep stuff I had to for the license and stuff I was trying to get. And some of it went back into little history and all, and it dealt with chemicals and it dealt with dope. And it told how in false religions in Egypt and in other places, they would bring them into a building, the congregation, so to speak, and the priest would pipe in the fumes, maybe smoke, I don't know, of the various drugs. And it would cause the people in the congregation to hallucinate and to see what the priest, and of course the devil behind the priest, warned them to see. How that they'd get out of there. And you know, there's a pile of folks go to what's called church buildings, and they go to get them experience. And they get in a trance, as it was, and they have garbage fed to them over the pulpit that you'd think any common sense person would say, I don't believe that. Oh, I could park there. I won't. I'd ring some of your phone numbers, what I'd do if I did. The truth of the matter is, the devil's into that trickery. And our young people are being doped out of their brains today. They're becoming zombies. They've lost their power to think. They've lost the power to please God. Now all they're doing is pleasing the evil one. And I've been wondering what Congress is smoking. Anyway. How do you keep the devil close? You please him. If you refuse to resist him. Young folks, don't go along with every new thing that comes around. Don't go around wanting to see something when God told you to believe something because he said so in his word. Say, well, how do I resist, preacher? I'd rather resist. I'd rather not please the devil. Well, here it is. How do I resist? The text in verse 8, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Now, could you ever wonder how would you draw nigh to God? Are you going to find God on the bar stool? Not hardly. You're going to find him in the house of ill repute? Not likely. Where are you going to find God? You might find him in his house, the church that Jesus died for. You might find him there. You might find him in his word, the very word of God. You might even find him in godly music. You're not going to find him in the devil's music. Right? So I didn't come to church to find out how to find the devil. Well, I'm just identifying who you've been walking with all week, some of you. You wonder why it's going wrong. Why this? Why that? Who'd you invite to be your companion this week? Who sat at your table? Who slept in your bed? Huh? Say, preacher, you mean. I'm getting meaner as I get older, and I'm getting older fast. I'm telling you, draw nigh to God if you want God to draw nigh to you. I just read in the Bible. That's all it says. You can if you want to. Deuteronomy 4 says you find him when you seek him with all your heart. That's somebody that really wants to find him. Proverbs 8 says the same thing. God says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early will find me. Proverbs 8, 17 or 19 or somewhere right through there. Yeah. It's not all that hard to figure out. Don't take a rocket scientist to know that if you please God, he's going to feel welcome in your presence. If you please the devil, he's going to feel welcome. Now, some of you have been doing some calculating while I was preaching this morning. I've already rung your number several times. You know exactly what you've done to keep the devil close. You don't admit it, but you know. And devil knows, and he's waiting for you to get out of here this morning and go do it again. Yes, he is. You want to find God, you might look in his word. You want to find God, you might look in his church. You want to find God, you might have fellowship with his people instead of the other crowd that you've been running with. Amen. Let me give you this, and I'll quit, and somebody's going to be so glad when I quit this morning. Which one are you staying close with? Which one? I'm not expecting you to holler out right now, but answer it in your heart. Which one are you staying close with? Which one are you resisting? Which one are you submitting to? Good question. Let me ask you a question. Which one will be the closest to you on your deathbed? Huh? You say, well, I hope God. Then you better start having a little more fellowship with him. You better let him be more of your family than he is right now. Be in your presence a little more than he is right now. There's a whole lot of folks, when they get down to death's bed, they want to take a little bit of dry hair and dry skin and give that to God and surrender it all to him. But back when they had some health and could do something, God wasn't welcome. Amen. Boy, what a meddling sermon. Which one are you staying close with? Which one will be closest when the doctor shakes his head and says, nothing else I can do? I want to tell you, as a preacher, I've had experiences both ways. Both ways. You see, there is a power that comes from both sources. There's a power that comes from the devil. Yeah. There's a power that comes from God. I'll tell you this, the power of the devil may make you enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, Moses said. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. Sin can be very enjoyable in its beginning, but it sure don't end well. And the end is what counts. It's the end that counts. Too many folks keep the devil close all their life and then try to get close to God in the end. I'd admit God's long-suffering, and sometimes it seems to work, but I want to tell you, it's not pleasing to God. He'd like to be close through your life, through your marriage, on your job, the regular things of duties of life. He'd like to be right in all of them with you. He will, if you give him a chance. Which one will be with you, though, when the time comes to cross over? I've stood by a lot of deathbeds. I've heard the good, and I've heard the bad. I've heard some of God's saints hug their loved ones that's gone on before. I've heard them point out the angels singing and ask us if we could hear the music. I've been there. I've also been there when the man died and said, I'm going to hell. I'm in the flame. I think of one man right now up in the Leesburg area of north of us, hospital. He lived across the street from my deacon, one of my deacons. That deacon went over and talked to him more than one time about Jesus, but he didn't want to hear about Jesus. He mocked Jesus. But the deacon kept trying to help him, but then after a few days, he noticed, I haven't seen that guy. I wonder what's happened to him. And he found he was almost dead. He'd passed out. They got him in an ambulance, took him to the hospital. He revived up for a little bit. My deacon told me this. He said, I went over to see him in the hospital. He was my neighbor, lost, but I wanted to help him if I could. And I went over there and went in his room, and I thought I'd tell him one more time about how Jesus loved him and died for him and paid for his sin and how he could be saved if he'd received the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I told him one more time. And the deacon's name was Floyd. First name was Floyd. And he said, Floyd, he said he had a smirk on his face when he said this to me. He said, you're wasting your time with me. He said, standing right outside that door is the old devil. And as soon as you walk out the door, he's going to walk in and take me because I belong to him. He said, I couldn't hardly handle that, but he said, I went on down the hall. Said, I didn't hardly get past the nurse's stand before the lights went off and the bells began to ring and so forth, the emergency. And he said, I went back. Just that quick, he was gone. He said, I couldn't help but believe the old devil was at the door just waiting to take him as soon as I walked out. I didn't get very far before he was gone. I want to say to you folks, that's a terrible way to go. But don't expect the devil to forsake you on your deathbed if you've been his partner, if he's been near and close to you and you've been pleasing him, submitting to him. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's going to collect the rent one day. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and that's more than physical death. That's spiritual death. Yes, there's a power there. I've seen some young people wanted that power Truth of the matter is, you need a power that'll take you to heaven. You need a power that'll forgive your sins. You need a power that'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You need a power that'll cause you to hear the trumpet and be caught up yonder with the saints of God. What's the difference? Who you resist, who you submit to. This morning, who are you going to resist? Who are you going to submit to? I encourage you, I beg you, submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your creator. He's your maker. He's your redeemer. He's the one who died for your sins on the cross. Why wouldn't you accept him and trust him as being your savior? Submit to him for eternal life. Resist him. The devil or nobody else has any hope for you. None at all. Oh, yeah. You will be resisting the devil to leave that seat. Come forward and receive Christ. Submit to Christ. Would you do it this morning? Would you bow your heads with me, please? I want to ask a very personal question. I believe in preaching to the people that's in front of me. I believe in being real and honest. And I ask you this morning, while heads are bowed, can you lift your hand? I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I remember when I submitted to him and accepted him as my Savior. Would you lift that hand as a testimony? Can you do it? Can you do it? All over the building? Yes. Thank you. May put them down. Are you here and you say, preacher, I never did. I never have. I've always been putting it off. Wonder who wants you to put it off? Which power is trying to get you to put it off? Will you be honest with yourself? Right this minute, this moment, you'd make a decision for Christ. You may have to resist the devil to do it, but that's the thing to do. Submit to the Lord. Draw nigh to him. He promises he'll draw nigh to you. Will you let him do that this morning? Would you stand with me, please? Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I've tried to be simple and clear and honest as I could be with my listeners today, Father, be they in the room or out on the radio air. I don't know. Thou knowest. I pray that you would speak to the hearts. Lord, you're not going to save them against their will. I know that. But you do invite them to come. And Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, whosoever, anybody, everybody, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. That's the invitation here in this room this morning, Father. I tell them if they'll come to Jesus, Jesus will accept them. I pray they would today. I pray not one would leave lost. I pray for the one might be listening in a car, on a car radio right now, or home, or somewhere else, that they'd even this moment say, Lord, I submit to you. I'm going to accept Christ, and I'm not going to be ashamed of it, and I'm going to share it with others. I pray you'd bless the invitation here in this building this morning. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. We're going to invite you to come. I'm going to step down here. Will you come? Maybe God's asked you to join a church or something else, but will you come? Submit to him. Whatever he's asked you to do, especially to save your soul, will you come as we sing?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Will you come as we sing?
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Let's bow our heads a moment. Some of you personal workers, if somebody comes to the altar and you don't know what their condition is. It's right to go ask them if you can pray with them. Check it out. Do that. I want you to think about something this morning. Some of you, as I was preaching, you evaluated some things in your life. You couldn't help but do it. What kind of score did you get on that? What kind of test? If I walked into, some of you young people listen to me especially, start with you. If I walked into your bedroom, your private place that you have everything, and I looked at what you listen to, what you look at, what you communicate with, I wonder, would I come away with the conclusion, here's a young person that really wants to please God, or would I come away with the conclusion, they want to please somebody else? They got more stuff in here pleasing to the devil than they have Christ. Yeah. I mean, if I was just an objective person coming in to maybe buy your house and I walked in your bedroom and looked, what would I think? You got something in there you're hiding that you wouldn't really want everybody to know about? What is it? Is it in the music? Is it in the pictures? In the communications? What is it? Might be if I opened your closet and I went in there and looked to see how you dress. You say, well, that'd be none of your business. No, but are you dressing to please the devil or Christ? Yeah. Somebody said, I didn't want to go to that church. It's more like going to the clinic. Yeah, because we're trying to get you well. Amen. Trying to get you to face reality a little bit. Suggest to young people, oh, no. No, some of you men, what have you got on the seat cushion? What have you got in the glove compartment? What have you got on the computer? Pleasing to God, pleasing to the devil. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Somebody said, well, just the devil giving me all the trouble all the time. No, listen. He don't give you a lot of trouble. He actually tries to bless you a lot to get you to follow with him and be happy with him. But he sticks around with you because you please him. You please him. Old Samson looked on the wrong woman and finally tried to marry her. Didn't work out too hot. But you know one thing he said to his parents about her? Said, she pleaseth me well. Look up the verse. She pleaseth me well. Some of you young folks better watch the same trap Samson fell in. You can fall in. Devil's out there wanting you to please him. He'll draw nigh to you. God will draw nigh to you if you please God, but the devil will draw nigh to you also. Also. Hope the message will be a little bit of a warning shot for some of us today, maybe. Maybe we'd push the reset button a little bit. See who I'm submitting to and who I'm resisting. All right, we'll share with you here just a moment and let you go. Is this Erica? Erica Moore. Erica, stand up here with me. She's come accepting Christ as her Savior today. And we praise the Lord for that. And I guarantee you that's pleasing to the Lord. He gave his only begotten Son. That's how close he wants to be to you. He gave his only begotten Son to save you. Amen. And I Glad Eric could come. We'll talk with her a little further about baptism. We have a motion to receive her for baptism. That's what we ought to do after we get saved. Not before you get saved, but after you get saved. Amen. I want you to come by and shake hands with her and let her know you rejoice. Yeah. Got another one over here to share real quick with me? Yeah. Well, that's your sister. All right. Great. Praise the Lord.
This is Alicia.
What's the name?
Alicia.
Alicia Moore? Well, great. Well, it's great to have two sisters saved. Amen. That's good. All right. We have a motion to also talk with, what was the name?
Alicia.
We'll talk with her about baptism also. And okay, show of hands. Raise your hand. You're not that tired. All right, God bless you. Okay, come by and shake hands with these after we're dismissed in prayer. Would you do that? Okay.